It's time for our weekly library show here on Q92. We have Lydia Rebine with us today, and we have lots of news from the Madison, Dawson, and Canby libraries to pass along today. And Lydia, great to be here filling in for Paul Ramo today.
We're going to have fun and get into trouble, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure how we make this go off the rails, but we have to find a way.
Sooner or later, with the two of us together, things are bound to go bad one way or another.
Yep. Absolutely. We could be talking about all kinds of things unrelated to books by the end of this.
That's true. We'll try to stick to the literary area, but no guarantees, right?
Right. So, you just don't know what could happen.
That's right. Well, you got a lot of things going on over there. Why don't you fill us in on some of the happenings coming up?
We do. It's, you know, heating up with the weather as far as programming goes.
Yeah, air conditioning too, by the way. Right? You're air conditioned over there?
It is.
All right.
So,
cool.
You know, if you don't, you're welcome to come just hide in the library for
a while.
You guys are
naturally cool, though, in the library, so.
Oh, absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah, it just comes off us in
That's
waves.
Right.
The thing I should mention before we get into programming, though, is we've got another federal holiday coming up. Juneteenth is observed on Monday as a federal holiday, so we will be closed for that. All of the libraries will, and we'll be back open for regular business on Tuesday.
Okay, that's just coming Monday, then.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. June 20th.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, and one other thing I wanted to mention on the topic of programming, because we get asked about this, is you do not have to have a library card to take part in our events, and there's no cost. Tomorrow night, on Wednesday, is our strolling story time in Lacaparo County Park, which is a new thing we're trying as a tie-in with summer reading, because this year's summer reading program is all about the outdoors and exploring. So kids and families are invited to come out to the south section of the Lacaparo County Park, which is just off of Minnesota 27, and
which is also known as the back road to Montevideo.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it gets a little bit confusing. I think people have a hard time finding the entrance for that south section sometimes.
Yeah, I've missed it more than once, but it's there. Yeah.
Yes, it's probably a little further down the road than you think it is, and there is a sign. You're kind of just going off into a dirt road and taking some random seeming turns until you get there. But yeah, there is a sign for that. If you've been to the Haunted Hayride in the past few years, it's that same section of park.
Is it the first entrance or the second entrance?
Well, that would depend on whether you're coming from the north or the south.
Well, that's true. Off of 27, it's the first entrance.
It would be the second.
The second one. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But so, yeah, if you're coming then from Dawson and heading north, it would be that first entrance. But if you're going south, it's the second entrance.
There you go. All right.
But we'll be in that south section of the park. And we're going to have stations set up along a walking path along the river where kids and families can stop and sit and enjoy different stories. We're also going to have nature-themed activities and games and things like a trail mix station. So it's going to be DIY trail mix where you can make and mix your own. Just lots of fun outdoor stuff. Obviously, we encourage everybody to be prepared, wear sunscreen, put on that bug repellent, wear appropriate shoes, because it is a dirt trail. And that, again, is going to be tomorrow night, which is June 15th, and we'll be out there from 4 to 8 p.m. in the Lacaparo County Park. So join us for that.
So you can come over whenever convenient for you. You don't have to come at 4 and
no,
right away.
Any time between 4 and 8 is totally fine. Oh, and we're also going to have out at the shelter a couple of our telescopes. Some people may not know that we have at Madison, Dawson, and Canby telescopes that you can check out. So let's jump into that next summer reading program. It's underway. It runs now through August 9th, and it's just a great opportunity during the summer for kids to read and discover new books and take part in activities and win prizes. And this year's theme, as I said, it's all about outdoors and exploring. It's Beyond the Beaten Path. Read Beyond the Beaten Path. In Madison, our activities are held on Tuesdays. The preschool story times and activities for the younger kids are from 10:30 to 11 a.m. in the morning. And then we have games, activities, and crafts for the older group of kids from 4 to 5 p.m. Dawson also is holding theirs on Tuesdays. Their pre-K through second grade activities start at 10:30, and their third through sixth grade activities are at 11:30 on most days. There's a couple of exceptions, so stop by the Dawson Library and grab a full schedule. There's a few where, because of other things going on, they might have to start at, say, 11:15 or something. And then teen programs for Dawson, also on Tuesdays, theirs start at 5:20 in the evening. Next week, June 19th, for the little kids, they're going to have a rock picture frame craft. And then for the third through sixth graders, they're going to be making tic-tac-toe boards. So lots of fun stuff going over in Dawson. In Cambie, they have their events on Monday. Pre-K through second grade programs start at 10:30. Third through sixth grade programs start at 3. And then they also on Wednesdays are having a movie day, an all ages movie day, at 3 p.m. again on Wednesdays. So that's kind of our general summer reading programs. Definitely go onto our Facebook pages or stop by the libraries to see the full schedules. While we're in Cambie and on that topic, Hat Days is coming up. That's going to be this weekend.
Lots of activities in Cambie.
Yes, lots of stuff. And the library is going to be taking part. So on Saturday, June 18th, the library is going to have gnome painting at Central Park in Cambie from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And again, that's free, and it's a craft where they can come in and paint a gnome figure.
You're supposed to be doing that in Dawson.
Yes. We're going to be doing that everywhere.
Oh, okay.
We're getting
right
there, Maynard. Just hold
right
on to your microphone.
I won't rush it.
Yes. Speaking of town events and gnomes, Dawson's also doing the same thing. They're going to have that painting craft. But first, to gear up for Riverfest, on Wednesday, June 22nd at 10:30, they're going to have a gnome-themed event in the library. And it's going to be a morning of gnome stories and songs for youth of all ages. And they will have an activity where they're going to be decorating gnome hats, which participants can wear around town during Riverfest. Then, during Riverfest proper, on Saturday, June 25th, the library will be at the shelter in the Dawson Swimming Pool Park, where they will also be doing that free gnome painting craft from 8:30 to noon. We'll be doing that a little later in Madison, too, where they'll have a chance to paint gnomes. It's fun. And then one other thing for Dawson, not a Riverfest thing or a gnome thing. They just set up in the library a really fun group sticker mosaic project for the kids to work on. They can just come in anytime and do that. But it's kind of like a sticker by number, you know, paint by number thing, where they take their different colors of stickers and put them on this poster until the image is created. Just kind of a fun group activity that they can work on whenever. So those are a few of the things going on. There will be more. Absolutely a good idea to follow us on those Facebook pages, Madison Public Library MN, Cambie Public Library MN, and Dawson Public Library MN, and stop by, too, to see all of what's going on.
All right. Never a dull moment at the libraries.
Never. We're always up to something.
Well, speaking of what you're up to, what's everybody reading these days over there in the library?
I got a list of that, too. Good you asked. So, you, what have you been reading, Maynard?
Trade publications.
Oh, and what is your favorite, Ben?
Radio World.
Radio.
Wouldn't you guess that would be something like that, huh?
It's shocking. Well, I never could have seen this plot twist coming for you.
It is important to keep up on what's going on in the business, I guess.
But, it is.
Yeah, I should read more just general reading, but I honestly, you know.
We're going to have to get you history of radio or something.
Yeah. I enjoy reading history and biographies and that kind of thing.
Branch out.
Yeah, I got to do that a little more.
There's probably a mystery series out there somewhere. There's so many very minutely themed mystery series where it will be like, oh, here's the person who has mysteries that are all around greenhouse gardening. It's crazy how specific these
mystery
series
of the
can
missing
be.
DJ, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
like
I just bet you that there is the murder solving radio host out there
series. No doubt.
If not, we'll get you to write
it. We'll find it. Yeah, I could write it, I suppose.
Uh-huh.
I haven't written anything lately, so I'm not a bad writer, you know.
He's going to find his clues in the trade publications.
There you go.
That's when I realized there was a serial killer at work.
Let me ask you, what are you reading?
What am I reading? I am reading a book called We Carry Their Bones by Aaron Camerrell. This is actually the book that The Nickel Boys by Whitehead was based off of. It's a true story. So we'll get into it. Author Arthur G. Dozier. I started that wrong. The Arthur G. Dozier Boys School is the place that The Nickel Boys is based off of. It was a well-guarded secret in Florida for over a century until reports of cruelty, abuse, and mysterious deaths shut the institution down in 2011. Established in 1900, the Juvenile Reform School accepted children as young as 6 years of age for crimes as harmless as truancy or trespassing. The boys sent there, many of whom were black, were subject to terrible abuse, routinely hired out to local farmers by the school's management as indentured laborers, and they died either at the school or attempting to escape its brutal conditions in many cases. In the wake of the school's shutdown, Aaron Camerrell, a leading forensic anthropologist, stepped in to locate the school's graveyard to determine the number of graves and who was buried there. The school's poorly kept accounting had suggested that some 31 boys were buried in unmarked graves on the property, but the real number turned out to be at least twice that. We Carry Their Bones is a detailed account of Jim Crow America and indictment of the reform school system as we know it. So if you did read The Nickel Boys, and I won't say enjoyed it, it's not maybe the kind of book one enjoys, but if you read The Nickel Boys and were impressed with it, this is a really good book to go back and see the real history of what it was based on. Deb has been reading a book called The Ghost Boys by Jewel Parker Rhodes. 12-year-old Jerome is shot by a police officer who mistakes his toy gun for a real threat. As a ghost, he observes the devastation that's been unleashed on his family and community in the wake of what they see as an unjust and brutal killing. Soon, Jerome meets another ghost, Emmett Till, a boy from a very different time but similar circumstances. Emmett helps Jerome process what has happened on a journey towards recognizing how historical racism may have led to the events that ended his own life. Jerome also meets Sarah, the daughter of the police officer, who grapples with her father's actions. Karen is reading The Mitford Murders. Now, Karen is the murder mystery lady, so if there is a series out there about radio hosts solving murders, she'd probably know about it.
She'd probably read it, yeah.
Yeah, she probably. She could probably tell us the order of books and everything. So, The Mitford Murders, Mitford Murders, Book 1 by Jessica Fellows. It's 1919. And Louisa Cannon dreams of escaping her life of poverty in London, and most of all, her oppressive and dangerous uncle. Louisa's salvation is a position with the Mitford household at the Ashell Manor in the Oxfordshire countryside. There, she will become nursery maid, chaperone, and confidant to the Mitford sisters, especially 16-year-old Nancy, an acerbic, bright young woman in love with stories. But then a nurse, Florence Nightingale Shore, goddaughter of her former and famous namesake, is killed on a train in broad daylight, and Louisa and Nancy find themselves entangled in the crimes of a murderer who will do anything to hide their secret. Alice is reading The Recovery Agent, Gabriella Rose, Book 1 by Janet Ivanovich. Lost something? Gabriella Rose knows how to get it back. As a recovery agent, she's hired by individuals and companies seeking lost treasures, stolen heirlooms, or missing assets of any kind. She's reliable, cool under pressure, and well-trained in weapons of all types. But Gabriella's latest job isn't for some bamboozled billionaire. It's for her own family, whose home is going to be wiped off the map if they can't come up with a lot of money. Fast. Inspired by an old family legend, Gabriella sets off for the jungles of Peru in pursuit of the Ring of Solomon and the lost treasure of Cortez. But this particular job comes with a huge problem attached to it. Gabriella's ex-husband, Raffi. It's Raffi who has the map that possibly points the way to the treasure, and he's not about to let Gabriella find it without him. Sounds kind of like Indiana Jonesy, doesn't it?
Right.
Naomi is reading Signs of Survival by Renee Hartman and Joshua M. Green. As Jews living in 1940s Czechoslovakia, Renee, Herta, and their parents were in immediate danger when the Holocaust came to their door. As the only hearing person in her family, Renee had to alert her parents and sister whenever the sound of Nazi boots approached their home so they could hide. But soon, their parents were tragically taken away, and the two sisters went on the run, desperate to find a safe place to hide. Eventually, they too would be captured and taken to the concentration camp in Birkenbelsen. Communicating in sign language and relying on each other for strength in the midst of illness, death, and starvation, Renee and Herta would have to fight to survive the darkest of times. This gripping memoir, told in vivid oral history format, is a testament to the power of sisterhood and love, and now, more than ever, a reminder of how important it is to honor the past and keep telling our own stories. And last but not least, we have a recommendation from Bev over in Canby. And she is reading The Bookwoman's Daughter, Bookwoman of Troublesome Creek, Book 2, by Kim Mitchell Richardson. In the ruggedness of the beautiful Kentucky mountains, Honey Lovett has always known that the old days can make a hard life harder. As the daughter of the famed blue-skinned Troublesome Creek pack horse librarian, Honey and her family have been hiding from the law all her life. But when her mother and father are imprisoned, Honey realizes she must fight to stay free or risk being sent away for good. Picking up her mother's old pack horse library route, Honey begins to deliver books to the remote haulers of Appalachia. Honey is looking to prove that she doesn't need anyone telling her how to survive, but the route can be treacherous, and some folks aren't keen to let a woman pave her own way. And that is what we are reading around the libraries.
All right. Well, we're about out of time here, Lydia, but any last words before we wrap her up for the day?
Well, in Madison, we are open Mondays and Wednesdays from 10 to 5:30, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 7:30. Fridays from 1:30 to 5:30, and Saturdays from 10 to 2. We're always closed from 1 to 1:30 for lunch, and we're just located on that northerly section of Main Street as you get to the end of the old business district. So stop in and visit us.
Stop in, check it out. Something for everybody at the library.
Absolutely.
There you go. Lydia, appreciate the information, and you have a great couple of weeks, or I guess, what, about every 2 weeks we're going to be talking to you again?
Yep, every other week,
every
basically,
other
we
week.
Come in. So.
All right, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds like a plan.
Lydia Rebine with news from the Madison, Dawson, and Canby Public Libraries. Thanks, Lydia.